I'd like to think about, put the word on the board now. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. I'll start with 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is things about moments sometimes that are never going to happen again. We recognize it throughout all of nature and time. There's a time and a place, and sometimes if you wait too long, it's impossible to do what you could have done at the moment. It goes by in opportunities and sections of time. You can plant corn in August if you want to, but you won't eat no corn from it, not around here. There's a time and a space of time given to do what you need to do, and then that time goes. It's probably not arguable. I don't think anybody in here would argue with me over the fact that I would say that this exact setting will never be mimicked again. We'll be here probably for the next 35 or 40 minutes together like this, in this setting, with you sitting in the spots that you're sitting, with the clothes that you're wearing and the situation that you're in, feeling the way you're feeling, and this will never be duplicated after this moment of time. It will never be done. And I'm just saying that to say that these times come and go, and within that time, a position, sometimes there's times to do things that you can never duplicate that time again. And it's very important, I believe, that we realize that God gives time and an opportunity to us for things in our lives. We not only notice it in times of days and those kind of things, but we also can say it's true of a lifetime. There's things that you can wait too long on your life to accomplish. There's things that you're better off to do when you're young. The scripture, I think it's Ecclesiastes 12, that reminds us it says to remember thy creator in the day of your youth. Because there's going to be a long process of things that can happen, and fruits and changes and decisions that you'll make wisely, that if you make unwisely in that moment or that time called now, if you take and make an unwise decision in that, you know, decisions can go with you all your life. The very things that you decide to do today, the investments you make on life, or the expenditures you make on life, and what you do in life can go with you for the rest of your life, go with you all your life, and it can make a big difference in it. So it's very important that we deal with the times and opportunities. You know, you can feel by the Spirit of the Lord that you can feel conviction that don't last always. You can be convicted for a moment, and Brother Ed used to say you can survive conviction. You can wade through it. You can get through it. It'll leave. You won't always feel that way. You can do something that you can feel guilty about. You can feel sad about. You can feel sorrow about. You can feel glad. You can feel happy, excited about. It won't last for very long. You have a moment of time to deal with these kind of things, and they don't last forever. So I want us to be mindful that there's times in dealing with the Lord that the Lord wants us to understand that you've come to your moment. Today is the day of salvation. Now is an acceptable time. It might not always be. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, to seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Well, that suggestion of that means is that he's not always found. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Now, God is always near. This is an expression that said that God is available. that call upon, if God was in the human form and he was within earshot, that'd be the time to holler. That'd be time to get his attention. There'll be a time, this is suggestive of the fact that there'll be a time that's not going to work for you. That God isn't always there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There's an opportunity in place. And it also suggests that there might be a time that's not available to us. And there's a time that you won't feel the way you may feel now. And you may be sensitive in your soul. You may be sensitive to the changes of your life. And God is faithful to bring us to the places to where we can't do it by ourselves. But the Lord is faithful to bring the circumstances and life to us to a point that we can understand our humanity. I understand that I'm fragile. I understand that I there's something that needs to be done, and it needs to be done fairly quickly. And I, if I don't do it now, I may never do it. And the Lord can bring those kind of places into our lives until there's an urgency of moment. I had a experience this last week that kind of brought me into this thought. But one day, Linda said that she wanted to go to a thrift store that's on the, I don't know where it's at, but it's on the other, I've never been there, but it's on the other side of Marlington. And she said something about her and the girls wanted to go down there. And I said, well, that, you know, and I thought about it. And I said, but you know, that would be perfect for me, because I was wanting to fish the river there by at Marlington. And so I said to her, well, if you're going by that way anyway, I'm going to jump in with you. I'll take my fish and stuff, and you let me off at Marlington, and I'll fish while you go down there. So that was the plan. And so I got up there, and I got above the bridge there at Marlington, up in there next to the swift water. And I hadn't been catching anything, but all of a sudden I get a bite, and I reel in a pretty nice rainbow, and I'm getting pretty excited. I got a spinner on, and I thought, this is pretty good. So I cast out, and I get a hold of another one, and it was a good one. And I wrestled it across there, fought it across the river, and got it over there on the bank. And when I reached down to pick it up, the big treble hook, it came loose from the fish and got me right in the thumb. And it went all the way through, and the barb come out. Oh, it only had about a quarter of an inch, but it had quite a bit of meat and skin right there. And it come through the barb. And so I have and my fish is wanting to get back in the river, and I'm battling between two ideas here, because I really didn't want to lose the fish. But it is kind of traumatic to have a fish through your finger. And so I'm kicking at the fish, but I'm on the line yet too. And finally I get the fish up there till it's secure, and I have a spinner stuck in my thumb. Well, there's been people in here know what I'm talking about to get that in there. And I'm on the river by myself, and the first thought I had was, I wish Darius was here, because you got to about pop them things pop that fish hook out of there. Really, the best way to do it is secure that. A thumb don't want to secure very good, especially if it's my offhand, like trying to do it. And so I couldn't. And I thought, well, Darius wasn't there. I was by myself. And they had the van. I got some pliers and clippers and stuff in the van, but I was by myself on the river. This is the now moment for me. I'm going to say that at the moment, that had my attention. Getting that out of my thumb was the priority. You'd be surprised how much of a priority that I had at this moment, that of everything else going on in the world. There's a train wreck in Ohio. There's a revival in Kentucky, as they say. There's all these world events, but right now I got a hook in my thumb. I mean, Brenda is really sick, and I got all this on my mind, but right now I got a hook in my thumb. And getting the hook out of my thumb consumed me. I wanted to get that out of my thumb. Well, also I wanted to fish, because I just got two in a row, and they're biting. But I mean, but that is in there. You know, the Lord allows us to come to the moments in our life that, what would happen if I'd have still had that in there, you think? What would be if I'd have come here today and said, you know, what was that, honey, Monday? I don't, what? come here and say, I got this in my Monday and my hand's all swollen and my thumb's this big around and it's infected and I got this in there. I know what everybody in here would have thought. Why didn't you get that out of there? Why are you leaving that in there? You know, the moment to get that out is as quick as you can. It's time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time. It doesn't get any better. God wants us to know. Now is the time. This is the time that's the urgency. Now is an important time to do it. Well, I know what I was going to do. I wanted to pop it out, but I had no ability to pop it out. I thought if I had my pliers, the best thing to do is cut it off or smash the barb down. I didn't have nothing to smash the barbs down with. I didn't have nothing to break the hook with. So I'm sitting there with this big hook in my thumb. You know what I considered the best thing was to do? Grit my teeth and start pulling. I've never done them that way before. But this is what had to happen. I just got a good hold on it and just got it braced and just started pulling. I could feel it. And I started pulling until I had the hook out of my thumb. Because it was the moment that it needed to come out. The best time to get that out is now. Get that out of there. Well, first I clipped the line because it was kind of tough pulling on me on the line. I hated to have to retie, but I had to do what I had to do. And so I clipped the line, and I popped that out of there, and it's bleeding. It's a good thing. Bleeding's a good thing. I'm glad that bled because that hook had been in fish's mouth. It's been out there in the river, and it's sitting there bleeding. And I think, whew, the moment's passed. If you understand the relief I had of having, well, I had a ripped up thumb because that barb had to rip back through. But it was done in the moment, in the time, and you know, I just went on and blood was dripping in the water, but I had blood down my reel. But you know what? I could go right on fishing. Well, I'm not meaning to brag, but I rarely catch my limit. But I caught my limit of big fish, so I was really tickled. There's times to take care of the things that happen in life. And God brings us to the moment sometimes that this is your moment. This is your time. There's times that the Lord brings us to understandings about the changes that we need to make in our life. There's times that there has to be an I'm sorry said. There's times that I have to humble myself and do the things that it is. And do you know what the time is now? It's time to take the festering moments out. It's time to take the dysfunction out. There's times that we do, and we're brought to those moments and times of that. And sometimes it's only going to fester. It's only going to get worse. Sometimes it's got to grit the teeth to do it. Sometimes it's going to hurt a little bit to do it. But the Lord has in mind that now, I want this message to go out with everybody. Now is a time for you to take care of the things, because now is the best time for you to be able to go on from this. Today. Today is the day of salvation. There's no reason to put off any longer than this moment to deal with the things that we have in our life to deal with. Now's the acceptable time. I want to look at another scripture. kind of goes along in this. It's in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I think. It all says, maybe just a little bit different in its reading, but it all says about the same thing. In Mark 8 chapter, 34th verse, says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what," I think Luke says it, "for what shall it advantage you," or a man, "for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I wonder in the great judgment of God, and God, of course, the only one to understand these kind of things. There's an old saying that says that something about the way to hell is paved with good intentions. I wonder how many people said that I want to do this. I want to serve God. I want to make things right. I want to do these things, and I'm going to. Sometime, I'm going to. There was a place in the scriptures to where Paul is talking to King Agrippa. And he says to King Agrippa, "Oh, King, I know you know these things. You're not ignorant of these things that I'm telling you." Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, was telling King Agrippa of what Jesus had done, what the prophecy. He went back and told King Agrippa, "This is the prophecy. I know you know these things. And this was prophesied, and you know it. And it's come down, and this was all fulfilled in this one called Jesus Christ. And he came and died for us," and I'm ad-libbing, but he preached to King Agrippa, and he said, "This is what God has done, and you know it. You're aware of these things. You're not ignorant of this. You know the ways of the scriptures. You know the prophecies. You know about these things." And he so shook King Agrippa that King Agrippa said to him, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul says, I would that you was not all, the all men was not almost persuaded, but altogether was persuaded of this. And I believe he was the one that said, "Paul, I'm going to call you at a more convenient season. There'll be a time, Paul, there'll be a time. Oh, King Agrippa, now is the moment that you've come to this place." I don't know what to be said about King Agrippa, because if the Bible don't say it, I don't know what I can say about it. But it can't make you but to wonder, in God's great mind and heart, what He knows, and how many people — I'm a statistic guy, so I like to think in numbers. Statistically, I wonder how many people had every intention of accepting Christ and going to heaven. I wonder how many people had very strong intentions at times, or very strong ideas at times, that one day I'll be saved, but that before they left this world, they had no intentions at all. They didn't act upon it, they didn't do it, and feelings come and feelings go, and they went away, and their knowledge and understanding left them, and they never come to the point that they ever come to the place that they actually took care of it. I wonder how many Christians that the Lord — I'm not talking altogether, folks, about whether God's going to say you made it or you didn't at the end, which is the ultimate, I know. But there's a quality of life here too. There is a richness of life here too. And there is a place that the Lord wants to make us more and happier and be more fulfilled in this life. Not only to have the next life, but the Lord wants to work with us. He wants to heal the relationships that we have. He wants to change our nature until, you know, a lot of times we can accuse everybody else around about having the problem, and we never see the problem that we help instigate it with. And we say, "Lord," and the Lord brings these moments and says, "Now's the time I'll fix it for you. Now's the time you can get on the road to being a different person than you are. You don't have to be that." There's things that the Lord can help us with. Somebody that talks too much can shut their mouth. By the help of the Lord, they can. But people that don't talk enough can say more words by the help of the Lord. People that don't have wisdom can get wisdom, because the Lord promised us wisdom. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He's not even going to say, "Well, shame on you, you should have had wisdom," but now He's just going to grant these requests that helps us, because this is what God wants to do in our lives. This is This setting will almost never be like this setting again. It'll be different. And so will a lot of things. Do you realize that by a decision that I make, that I can affect hundreds of people's lives? Sure I can. I could decide today to drive up to D.C. and get up there on the roundabout up there and hit my brakes a couple of times and cause hundreds of people to be late getting home. I mean, I can go to Elkins and set at the green light too long and change the people and maybe cause an accident or cause somebody to step on a cat or the things that changes. We're all entwined in things and the decisions that we make. I'm not saying that there's the right and wrongs in any of those decisions. I'm just saying that the power of influence and effect of your life is definitely there. You can learn, Lord help me, if I need to get more grace and understanding of God of how to deal with people and help the people, to think that if I was to accept the Lord's wisdom and leadership into my life, that today I may start on a course that I'm more bold and better equipped of the Lord, and in the time to come I could say the words that may mean eternity to someone. I may say the words that would keep somebody from committing suicide or save a marriage or have somebody to humble themselves at their workplace and change the environments around them. Who's to say what a course of our life can happen? Now's the time. Many times the Lord brings us to these moments and places. This says, for what shall a man advantage, or what shall he gain in life by all of the other things that are around? We get so sidetracked by the things that of this world. And many times the decisions is we know we need to do something, but the decisions that we make are earthbound. They're caught in this world of the decisions I have to do. And if I take the time to do this, I won't be taking the time for that. And this scripture actually asks the question for us to consider. What is it advantaging you? We all want to have the advantage. What is the advantage? What is the advantage that I have from holding on to my selfish ways? What advantage do I really get by wanting to be the loudest voice in the room, or I want to suck up all the air in the room from everybody? What actually is the advantage of the things that we do? Lord help us. There's a scripture I want to look at in I should know this one. Ecclesiastes 2. The wise man, I think, is considering the thought. He says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. That's a great big broad statement, isn't it? To every purpose under heaven, to everything there is a season of time. Paul said that I won't quote this right, so I'll just say the meaning of it. Paul said, I was a child one time, and when I was a child, I acted just like a child. You couldn't expect much more from me. I spake as a child, played childish games, whined at bedtime, and didn't want to eat my vegetables. I did the things that a child, normally the course of a child, would do about things. And I thought like a child, and I acted as a child. But he said, when I become a man, I put away the childish things, and I started acting like a man then, because there's a season and a time in life. We don't look at the little boys in here when they go pushing, get down on all fours and go pushing a little toy tractor across the floor and going brrn brrn and playing like that. You just don't expect a 60-year-old man to do well. If I'm playing my grandchildren, you might put up with it for a little bit. But you wouldn't seriously come to my house and come in and look and see and nobody else is around and I'm down on the floor with a little Tonka truck or something. You wouldn't expect it, because it isn't within the season. It isn't within the season of my life. We have an expectation that sometime there's something more than that can happen to my life, and there's something that I have to put away those kind of thoughts and those kind of things. And so it is in the spiritual realms too. There's a time that we don't shouldn't have to be, say this, we shouldn't have to be coddled. Now, I'm not talking about your physical age today. I'm talking about the time you spent with the Lord. There's times that where you can have a relationship with the Lord that you don't have to call everybody together and cry around and say, I've been hurt. Hey, hurts come, hurts go. You may need some prayer. I ain't saying that. But there's a time that we grow up and the people around and the things that come in, there's a time that we can handle the adversities and things that come in. Do you know if you want to work for the Lord, I'm going to guarantee you everybody's not going to think like you. And if you're going to work for the Lord, you're going to run into characters that you're going to have to just say, Lord, help us here. Lord, you can help them to understand. You can bring the truth to them. God needs some adults. God needs some time for me to take the lessons of life and grow up, because that's really what happens in life after a while. It's not very meaningful for me to push a toy truck around on the floor. It doesn't accomplish. And you go on and become, and so it is with the Lord, to become what the Lord would have us to be in maturity. Paul said in one place, quit you like men. And that isn't exempting you ladies. It means everybody. It just means the attitude. The attitude is to quit you like men. To come to this point that I am not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Lord, help get me to those kind of places. God will be faithful to our lives. He will bring the very thing that you need into your life. Sister Billie Jean said earlier, she made a comment, is what said, we ought to be careful about being critical or running down the things, looking bad at the events that happen into our life, because they are the, I'm saying it in my own words, they are what make us. They're the things that catapult us into the next experience of our life. This is what enriches our lives in the Lord. This is why we should accept the things that come into our life and find the value in it, because the truth of it is, that is a moment. That is a moment. It's the time that's given to you, that if you're going to make headway, now is my time. The Lord has given us a perfect position here. You've heard my stories. I want to say something about a preacher's stories. For one thing, you're going to have to remember about a preacher's stories is that sometimes we put these on the airways and many people is going to hear this for the first time. So if you've heard the story over and over, I'm not really apologizing for it. I'm just explaining that when you tell stories over and over, we don't just sing one song and then forget the song. We sing the song over and over, and sometimes you have to realize that the story fits the situation, and there's many people not going to do that. So sometimes, yeah, endure the story. But there was times in my life to where I had told the Lord, I want to be more like you. I really, in my mind, didn't know what I was asking for the Lord to say that. I want to be more like you. But I believe God will be faithful if you ask that question. I want to be, Lord, I really want to be more like you. I believe the Lord will answer that prayer request for you. You can be, but I didn't know what I was asking, because in my mind, I always thought of the miracles of God working in my life, until where I say, Lord, I want to be like you, and I am. And I don't know how to say I got there, but the Lord just made me more like God. But that ain't what he does. You ask, I want to be more like you, and so the Lord puts you in the same situation that he was in, or a like situation like he was in, and said, now, here, understand my situation and come out by my grace like I did, and you'll be like me. And so that's what happened to me. I was really praying, I want to be more like the Lord, and of course, in my human mind, I meant, I want to go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow like the Lord. But the Lord sent the very elements into my life that it was so upsetting to me that I actually prayed, Lord, why? Why are they doing this? All I ever wanted to do was good, and now I'm ridiculed. That was the thoughts of my mind. And the Lord's answer was, yeah, that's what they did to me. All I wanted to do was do good. And they crucified me. You want to be like me? You're crying to be like me? Here is you an opportunity to be like me. Find the grace that I have to love them, even though they're running you down for being, for wanting to do good. You know, really, it was like a light come on. I had been praying that way. And it was more like, Lord, help me, not just in words, not just in front of the congregation, but help me to truly love this person the way you love them. I've got an opportunity now. This was a moment God gave me. This didn't happen the years before. It didn't happen the years after. Here is the moment that I come down to that the Lord was saying, here's your moment to come up farther. Now is the time. In your life, there'll be things. I wonder back through lives, and I can't know it, and look at my own most, but I look back in the lives and think, how did I get here and what did I miss? I wonder how many things that the Lord tried in my life that I let the moment slip by. God's merciful. Maybe the Lord will send it by again. But there is times and places that will never come into your life again. I'm 60 years old now. And recently I had a thought, I seen a card or something, one of those 40 cards. And I remembered when I turned 40. So what a milestone, I turned 40. And I had to look 20 years back to see it. And it was like, that was the fastest 20 years. If the years between 40 and 60, if the years between 60 and 80 go as fast, man, I mean, it's going to be, it ain't long. But there's time. And the time to deal with these things is now. So the writer writes, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck that which is planted. I go through that. You do too. Around here we plant our gardens in the spring and some early summer. And by, you know, up in September and or August, and we're eating the fruits of it, and we're doing it, and it's all because of the time. And if you don't plant the seeds now, you won't get the fruit later. And it's the same way in a spiritual sense for everything that you do. Plant some love as you go. Take the now moments. If you have a time to say something to someone, now's a good time to do it. If you got to express that you love them or you care for them, now's a good time to do it. Do you know how many people that I've known in this life that become estranged to one another and had to go through, and at the end, the one dies, and then they're sitting there with a great guilt or understanding that they hadn't talked to this person or showed love or care or nothing like that, and then now it's too late to do it. The now's over. The now's over. There's no sending the flowers now. There's no saying. There's no asking for forgiveness. There's no healings of that now. It's just going to have to deal with this. And it is. We have today. Today is the day of salvation. Linda and I talk quite often about the idea of, Lord, help us make the best of our moments. Lord, help us to make the best of the day. You get in a habit of losing one day and then another and then another. And you look back and your days are gone. And what you intended never happened. But now is the time to consider all of those things. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war, a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in all wherein he laboreth? There is a time. I think the expression is sometimes you can, when it's not time, you waste time. The idea of that is who can beat what he... Who can outdo what he just said? What human can straighten that which he made crooked? What human can change the seasons? What say, I don't want to go by the seasons. I don't want to have to do that. So I'll plant my corn in August. I'll go plant it today. I can try to beat it, but you can't beat it. You can only go with it. There'll be times that God's going to offer us something special. There'll be times to be able to change the courses. There'll be times in people's lives where the Lord says, today is the day of salvation. I want to offer you my plan of salvation today. You can be saved today. Here's my offer. Be saved today. The window is here. It doesn't mean that the window will stay here. It doesn't mean that the feelings will be there. It doesn't mean that the situation will be there. But now, King Agrippa was foolish. And it goes down as the foolish statement of the Bible was King Agrippa's statement. It's been preached and preached and preached and preached. King Agrippa said something that was preached throughout the ages of time. Almost thou persuadest me. At a more convenient time, Paul, I'll call for you. Is there convenient? When it's convenient at my convenience? Oh, if you're going to have to wait for everything to be just right, it may never be just right. Now is an important time. Very important time. Now's the situation that we always live in. Everything else is a thought towards or a thought looking back. Now is the moment. What do I do with this moment of time? I want to encourage you to take those moments and the times and the events of life when the things come. It's impossible for us to do it ourselves. We can't do it as humans. But the circumstances, like a fish hook in your thumb, can alter your day and what you have to do with that day. I know for a fact that a car wreck, turning a car up on its hood or on its top, will change the patterns of your thinking. It will instill a caution and a carefulness in your life when you realize how instantly I could have been gone out into eternity. You hear of the cases where young people thinking they're strong and healthy, and you look and all of a sudden a heart attack, and it's been much more prevalent after the COVID years. All of a sudden young men are falling over, and that was the end of it, and it's over, and the now moments are all gone. And you look at that and you say, this is a series. Will I use all of my nows and get to the end of it and here depart from me? Lord, help me that you take advantage of the time that's called now. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.